Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. Getting down to business here today, a couple of things. Top of the item, top of the plate here, Flathead Lake levels and protecting public lands. Two big agenda items on the plate for Montana's Western District Congressman. That's Ryan Zinke joining us today here on Voices, a former Navy SEAL commander, too. We'll speak with Commander Zinke about, America's security interests. This Israeli-Arab conflict expands in the Middle East. So Commander Ryan Zinke, or Representative Ryan Zinke from the great state of Montana, serves the Western District here, and we'll just get right into it because I know he's been working on it. Good morning, Commander. How you doing, sir?
Outstanding. No, ironically, I'm driving around Flathead Lake right now, so if I lose you on cell phone coverage, I'll give you a shout right back. You know, we were talking before the show, the cell phone coverage in Iraq is better than the cell phone coverage in Montana, because we built a new system.
Yeah.
You know, Montana still lags behind.
Yeah, I like
but
that.
But, you know, on the lake, I'm from three generations of plumbers, and it's really about plumbing. You have your faucet, which is Hungry Horse Dam and the North Fork watershed. You have the bathtub, which is the flathead, and you got the drain, which is the dam. So come on, guys, figure out how to make sure the lake is at full pool from June 15th to September 15th to make sure we have good boating. And look, you know, a lot of these businesses around the lake, they got to make the money to survive in 3 months. And if there's no water and they can't use the dock, you know, they'll go under. So I'm glad to see our friends at the tribe are lowering their water output. So they're reducing the flow. We're asking the Department of Interior to increase the flow out of Hungry Horse Dam early. Right now, looks like we're all parties are getting together, and we'll be within a foot of full pool. That makes for a great summer on the Flathead.
Yeah, I talked with Brian Lipscomb yesterday from Energy Keepers about this adjustment here. It's pretty significant. The fact that we don't have water is not much we can do about it. I know they had to keep a certain amount of flow going because of potential for flooding. That is now tapered off a little bit. But let's talk about long-term here, Commander. And I know that you've introduced a bill to fill the pool. I don't think it made it out of that last Congress. I think you're doing that again. But how do we kind of try to adjust this long-term? Or do we just have to – are we in pretty good spot right now for long-term, considering if Mother Nature would cooperate with us?
Well, you know, I've heard the argument, climate change, you know, runoff, all these things. You know, it's a management issue. One, we need to use better science in determining moisture in the hills, snowpack. There's technology available with satellites that we can definitively determine what the moisture level is and water level is. And then, of course, it rains and, you know, those will add or subtract. But we need to do a much better job of predicting, you know, where we're at. And quite frankly, you know, look, the amount of water coming in and the amount of water coming out. The priority has to be to keep Flathead at full pool from 15 June all the way to 15 September. Because, look, a lot of people depend on the lake. And, you know, on the tribe issue, you know, they like to sell power. You know, great, they own the dam. They're in business to do that. The dam up above, that's our water reserve. There's plenty of water in there. In my lifetime, I've seen it go down to 80 feet below pool on Hungry Horse. But to me, it's a management issue. And that's all work together to make sure that all interests are taken care of. And we have full pool from 15 June to 15 September. That's the way. And, you know, I would rather not have to put it in law, but I think it's important enough that, look, all parties have to be stakeholders in this. And it's a big, big deal in the Flathead. You know, people depend. They spend their summers here. But again, on the business side, if you're a farmer, rancher, we want to keep that level up so you can irrigate your crops as well as use your boat. And look, when the water goes down, you know, there's obstacles and obstructions in that lake that normally don't appear, and it's dangerous. So, but I'm feeling pretty good this summer. The predictive forecast say we'll be below 1 foot. So I'm happy and I'm thankful to the tribe, for getting engaged and doing their part. So I think we're looking pretty good for this summer.
Yeah, that is good news, the cooperation along this side. Ryan Zinke with us here, Commander Ryan Zinke, Western District Representative as well. Fifth generation Montanan, born in Bozeman, but lives in Whitefish in that same property that you've called home for quite some time. Graduated out of there. So you probably spent a little time on Whitefish Lake yourself. The water issue, I mean, how much are you hearing about it up there? And it's I don't know if there's more we can do. You talked about maybe codifying it, but not wanting to do that. Just talk about how you keep a collaboration together then to better manage that lake.
Well, you know, in Montana, as you know, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. And whether you're on the east side, west side, the water infrastructure across Montana is incredibly important. We have the St. Mary's, you know, bypass that blew out, that caused a lot of damage. That needs to be repaired. We have Roundup. You know, there's a lot of water projects around Montana that needs to be attended to. And Tom, you know, a lot of these projects were put in at the turn of last century. I'm talking like 1920s, 1930s.
Yeah.
And they're aging. And you look at Bozeman, the demand, the increase of water in Bozeman. You look at little towns like Seeley Lake. Seeley Lake doesn't have a car wash because they don't have a sewer system. And they lost the Pyramid Timber Mill. Some of it had to do with lack of affordable housing due to they don't have a sewer system. You can't really build an apex and put it on a septic tank up there. So you know, I sit on appropriations. I'm doing my part to go around. Matter of fact, I'm on the way to Knoxon, a little town of Knoxon, and no one cares about it unless you live in Knoxon. But they have a bridge that was built in the 1920s. They got holes in it. You can't even put a full kid load of a school bus full of kids. Again, Montana infrastructure, especially on the county level, that's what I'm focused on, and water is a part of that. But, you know, you can go back to John Wesley Powell. The expansion of the West is largely due to water. Montana is blessed. We have the upper part of the Missouri. We have going into the Hudson Bay. We have on the west side going into the Columbia River Basin. So Montana is the headwaters of a lot of important water structures, but we need our voice. When downstream interests dictate our policy upstream, particularly in the Flathead about water flows, you know, it's a concern. It should be a concern to us all. And, you know, the thing about water is when they're talking about taking the dams down on the lower Snake or the upper Snake Basin, you know, Montana gets a lot of power from the dam system and that Snake River, you know, system in there. If they took the dams down, we're going to be pretty dark here. And, you know, same thing with on the east side with the coal strip. They take that coal strip down where we can't have power, the east side's going to be dark. So, you know, Montana interests, I make sure that as a congressman and representative, our interests are looked out after and our voices are heard.
And I appreciate that as well. And again, I mean, the breaching of those dams, we talked about that, and I think that's off the plate with this Trump administration. But, I mean, we use this water time and time again for energy. I mean, it flows down the Snake, and it's not just a one and done. I mean, and then we can reuse it. It's just such a hydropower is, I mean, it is what we need more and more of. I'm going to switch gears here a little bit to Commander Ryan Zinke, Western District Congressman for the state of Montana here with us. I want to talk about public lands. And you had quite a battle, again, member of the Appropriations Committee. You like the one big, beautiful bill. I want you to, you know, talk about what you like about it. But right off the bat, you had to fight for what Montana's want, and that's, you know, preservation of public lands. With Western District Congressman Ryan Zinke, again, out and about in Montana, so I know that's a great day, but driving around Flathead Lake, we've talked about those lake levels, and Commander, I appreciate you calling back in. I just can't imagine a more beautiful drive, actually. If there's not a bad view east side or west side, so, and I know you appreciate that.
Well, you know, I've driven on, I think, every highway across Montana, and I know where the cell phone hotspots are and where they're not, so we're pulled alongside the road, so it won't happen again.
Thank you.
But, you know, I guess we're going to take a call, right, from Skip.
Yeah, let's do that. Skip is listening in Hamilton on KLYQ. Skip, you got Commander Ryan Zinke on the program here, and good morning to you, sir.
And good morning, Tom. Thank you very much. And Ryan, thanks for pulling over, and we're wanting to hear all kinds of things from you. Yesterday, I went to a Q&A session with Austin Knutson, and he mentioned he had made his fourth or fifth trip down to the border, and things were so dramatically different and certainly better for lots of reasons since our president has been there and taken charge appropriately. Would you please tell us some of those things? Because, I mean, it's so different than the Biden administration, and it's something that I hope even gets better. So I figured you'd give us some cliff notes on why the border's better and how we can look forward to improvements in things like drug trafficking and all kinds of things. So thank you, sir, for what you do.
Thank you, Skip.
Well, I appreciate it, Skip. You know, it didn't take policy. It took a president.
Yeah.
So President Trump, that we got elected largely on immigration and his promise to secure the southern border, and he did. So we have troops down there, and lowest number of crossings, lowest number across the board. Again, it didn't take policy. It took a president. The northern border, we've seen less. But remember, 10 times more people on the terrorist watch list came across the northern border than in the southern border. We're glad to see we have the Royal Mounties now doing their job. They have Royal Mounties patrolling finally. There's 10,000 Mexican federales in the southern border. We have our National Guard down there. So I think our borders are secure. The next phase is we have a lot of bad elements in this country. We have a lot of bad elements in Montana. We're talking illegal immigrants that are drug trafficking, sex trafficking, child trafficking, and we are rooting them out. Very disappointed with Bozeman commissioners decided that they would not participate with ICE. And these are law enforcement that are removing the bad elements from our community. And yet we still have, in Montana, we have commissioners that decided to not play ball with our law enforcement. Very disappointing. You know, other sheriffs, I made a deal with Holman, who's running ICE, who's running the Border Patrol. I said, look, if our sheriffs, and I think the sheriffs are the best persons to do it, quite frankly. One is a Montana sheriff's been rounding things up. You know, we know how to round things up in Montana. We've been doing it for centuries. But the sheriffs also know who's bad and who's nice, right? The sheriffs know who's doing the drugs, doing the really bad things. And the sheriffs are the ones that then should make the initial arrest. The ICE and the Border Patrol will pay for the beds and pick them up. I think that's the best way to do it, and have the sheriffs do it, you know, rather than other agencies come in. But when all of a sudden you won't participate and the sheriffs are blocked out, that's not good news for Montana.
I hope that changes.
Overall, I think overall we're seeing the protests. I don't know what people are protesting. They're protesting what? The removal of illegal immigrants that are doing harm to this country with drugs and children trafficking, with waving Mexican flags. Look, if you want to wave a Mexican flag, it's not very far down south. You can go back. But here it's red, white, and blue. Wave the U.S. flag, follow the law, and that's kind of where I sit. And I think that's where the country sits. That's why Donald J. Trump got elected.
Yeah, and I think the American public. I mean, I'm seeing surveys that show, you know, we want to have the fortitude to clean up this mess that's made, and it's going to take that. So I appreciate those comments. Thanks, Skip, for that too. And there's really still a lot to talk about. When it comes to security, I'm going to move over to the public lands bill, because I think that had to be quite a battle. Appropriations committee member Ryan Zinke with us here as well. And when you talk about this House budget reconciliation process, getting back to normal order, regular order, that's a real good thing. Talk about this fight. You said it was your San Juan Hill in knocking out the sale of public lands out of this one big, beautiful bill.
Well, you know, in Montana in the West, we largely live out here because we enjoy the public lands. And the public lands are a result of legacy of the great ones, of Roosevelt, of Pinchot. And we enjoy, you know, I'm a big supporter of multiple use, more better management. And I understand a lot of people are upset because you can't cut a tree in Libby or you get arrested on a, you know, county road in Utah. But public lands belongs to us all. Whether the public lands is in Utah or Montana or Idaho, they belong to us all. And the idea that you're going to sell public lands on reconciliation without public review, without consultation with the tribes, without the process, is wrong. And the idea that you're going to, you know, sell public lands to pay for a debt is folly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are, I agree, there are places, if a community is surrounded by public lands, there are places where highest and best use may be to either exchange or transfer or sell. If you want to build a school or extend an airport or look at housing, but housing is tens of acres. It's not tens of thousands of acres, and it's not millions of acres. So, you know, I've always opposed the wholesale selling of public lands, because once you sell it, never comes back. So in the House, we were successful, and Troy Downing was helpful. Mike Simpson from Idaho was very, very helpful in removing that provision. I understand that Senator Lee from Utah put it back in now and increased the acreage. So, you know, I'm vehemently opposed to it. Again, there's a process, and there's buildings that probably, you know, the government doesn't need. There's small sections of disassociated land. There's exchanges. But when you do a public land exchange or sale, you have to look at, you know, how does it affect public access? How does it affect wildlife management? Are you going to sell the surface, subsurface, or both, water rights? There's a lot to it that needs to be taken into consideration. And the public, that's us, local, state, we should have a say. So the idea you're gonna do it in the middle of the night or by you know a bill that's rushed through on reconciliation, I just don't agree with it. And Montana doesn't agree with it. And look, this is like an 85% issue. People enjoy our public lands, and we have a lot of support.
Yeah, that's what I'm curious about now. How much support do you have? Will there be another run at something like this? Or I know you talked about Mike Lee trying to get it back in there. What's the future looking down the road on this one?
Well, it sets a really bad precedent, Tom, yeah, that you're gonna sell it, and the premise is false, that you're going to sell public land to pay off our debt. You can sell every square inch we have. It's not going to make $36 trillion, I can tell you that. Not even close.
Yeah.
So, but I think, you know, I think working together, you got to work in the communities and state. I think the solution, quite frankly, is better management, Tom. We live in Montana. It's inexcusable that a forest burned down every year. It's inexcusable that we can't, you know, remove dead and dying timber and have sustainable harvest. And we've had some bad judges in Montana that have prevented, you know, for communities like Liberty for having access to resources, or a mine in Troy, which is a nice mine play, good location, good science behind it. But I think there's a lot of frustration out there. And I think a lot of the frustration would be mitigated if we had better management policies and we're able to access our public lands. And look, if you're going to mine, that's fine. There's places to mine. There's places not to. As secretary, I put a prohibition about mining the mountaintop by Prey, Montana, on the entrance to Yellowstone. But Decker, Montana, Troy, Montana, good mine plays there. And be a Boy Scout. When the mine is expended, then reclaim it in good or better condition than you found it. I think that's the Montana way.
Congressman Ryan Zinke with us, a U.S. Navy SEAL for 22 years, and that's why we call him a commander, because that's what he is. And the first Navy SEAL to be elected to the House of Representatives. I want to have you, and we got like about 2.5 minutes here, use your expertise. You're on the U.S. Joint Commission on China. You're on the Foreign Affairs Committee, Middle East, North Africa, Central Asia. What's your assessment now of the heightening tensions in the Middle East?
I don't think Israel had any choice. You know, this is a result of a long time coming. Remember Iran. Iran is sponsored, the principal sponsor of Hezbollah, Hamas, of Houthis. Father's Day was over the weekend. There's at least 500 dads that didn't come home as a result of Iran directly supporting with munitions, planning intelligence against the U.S. Iran has said they will annihilate, destroy Israel, death to America. They haven't changed. With the point where it was right to the fourth quarter, where all of a sudden they have enough enrichment of uranium. They are accelerating their ballistic missile capability. And remember, a ballistic missile is only one step away from an intercontinental ballistic missile. And these missiles are capable of housing a nuclear warhead. I don't think Israel had any choice. And President Trump has made it crystal clear. No bomb. No nuclear weapons for Iran, because if they do, we'd see it in the U.S. Certainly Israel would see it first. So it's up to Iran, and it's the people of Iran that I like, the leadership. And let me give you a quote from Ayatollah Khomeini, is that females in custody should be raped before executed so they don't go to heaven. That's incomprehensible for a Western mind, but that is the evil that the Ayatollah Khomeini, that's a direct quote. So you're talking about an evil empire. They have a choice. Give up nuclear weapons or continue to lose their Navy, their Air Force, no doubt their ability to export oil, because the world, Israel, the United States. Well, by the way, Iran also targeted our president twice in assassination attempts, not these two recent ones, but other ones. And so you know they're an evil empire. They will not have a nuclear weapon. President Trump has made it clear. If they continue that path, the consequences will be met.
Thanks for your service, Ryan. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to chatting with you down the road. Stay safe, all right, and have a good summer.
Thank you, and I appreciate it, and God bless.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.